أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome back to 110 Lessons for Life from the teachings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And today we want to draw our attention to the concept of sins, of going against the rules and the ordinances of God, the Almighty Creator. Now obviously when we look at the topic of sins, it's a massive topic. The traditions from the Prophet and his family, the verses of the Quran, they speak about not only specific sins, things which are not allowed to be done within the teachings of Islam, but at the same time we also get a glimpse into what causes us to sin. These are mentioned many times within the Quran, within the traditions. And so we get a beautiful picture from our Creator and from the guides of humanity on not only what sins there are, but also how to keep away from performing certain actions. Obviously meaning that we would be able to safeguard our future of this world and the life to come. The tradition today from the Commander of the Faithful, however, looks at a concept of the sins, and he gives an example which maybe is not, you know, too relevant for our day and age. Obviously it's something that we need to think about. This was an example given 14 centuries ago. But obviously if we watch television, if we engage in any kinds of activities, we may be able to relate better to the specific example that we will see within the tradition. Without further ado, let's look at the hadith for today, the saying for today, and come back and reflect on it a bit to better understand the concept of sins within Islam and what draws us to them. The Commander of the Faithful says the following statement. Be aware that sins are like unruly horses on whom their riders have been placed, and their reins have been let loose so that they would jump with them in hell. Be aware that God consciousness is like trained horses on whom the riders have been placed with the reins in their hands so that they would take the riders to heaven. As we said, this example may be difficult for many people to understand if you've never seen a horse, if you've never ridden on a horse, if you've never experienced what it means to see, let's say, a wild horse compared to a tamed horse that people ride. But if we look at, you know, television shows, if we look at sporting events, you have examples of, let's say, rodeos where wild horses are used, and the rider obviously would be on that horse, and he would have obviously maybe the reins, or he would have some way to keep balance on the horse. And then you have example of people who ride horses in equestrian sporting events, for example, in the Olympics, and they're trained horses, they are under control of the guide. The Commander of the Faithful shows us that our actions are like this in the world. That sometimes you have individuals who commit sins, and he gives the comparison of being put onto a wild horse which is not tame, which is not controllable. And not only are you on the wild horse, but you also don't even have the reins in hand to control the way the horse would, or how you would want the horse to move. And so he says eventually the outcome of this individual obviously would be, in terms of a horse, would be to fall off of the horse, probably get very injured, maybe be trampled by the horse. In the spiritual sense, he is talking about sins and their control over us, and us falling, you know, headfirst into the fires of hell and the punishment of the world to come. You know, it's like the example that is given by the commentator of this hadith, where he talks about the story of a young man who was once given an option, and he had to choose one of the three options. A, he either had to kill his father. B, he had to physically assault his sister. Or three, he was to drink alcohol. The young man thought, well, you know what, to kill my father is a major sin. To physically assault my sister, major sin. But to drink alcohol, you know, he felt that to be, let's say, the lesser of the three evils. At least if he drinks the alcohol, he would get drunk, he would be inebriated for a period of time, he would regain his senses, you know, have a hangover, and everything would be back to normal. Or so he thought. So he said, well, let me do the third one, the drinking of the alcohol. The story says that he drank, and he got so drunk that, as many people know, when people get drunk, they are not in their rightful mind. That's why we have people who, you know, drunk driving and they kill people. You have people who get drunk and, rape women. You have people who get drunk and kill their children. So this man in the story gets drunk and he ends up killing his father, physically assaulting his sister, gets out of his state, he has the hangover the next day, and then he looks and he realizes what he had done. that one sin of alcohol led to two other massive, major actions that he performed, sins that he did. And so when we look at that story and we reflect on this beginning part of the tradition, we realize the correlation that that is the outcome of sins. It's like a wild horse, an untamed horse that you can't control. And similarly with sins is that we can never really control ourselves to say, well, I'll just do one sin and then I'll get back on course. I'll tell one lie and then I'll go back on course. No, because we know with many sins, you need to perform another sin to cover that previous one. People who lie know this very well. You tell a lie today, and now tomorrow you need to tell maybe five more lies to cover that first lie. You can't just stop with one. You can't just end at one sin. People that commit other sins, they'll realize that it's not possible to only commit it once, because you develop a liking for it. It gives a certain flavor, a certain pleasure that we derive. And so we continue to continuously perform those negative actions. That's the first part of the hadith. In the second portion of the tradition, the commander of the faithful talks about taqwa, God consciousness, being aware that God is ever present within our lives. And he compares this individual who has consciousness of God to be like an individual who is on a horse with the reins in hand, and he is controlling the animal and going towards paradise. If we look at it from the spiritual perspective, that taqwa is the steed that we're on, meaning that all of our actions are done with the awareness of God within our lives. And when we have that and we are able to control our lives, we control our destiny. Not only do we control our actions in this world, resulting in a better world that we live in, because we are able to, you know, perform good actions, we can develop better relationships with people, we are having our life under control, we're not being the slave of the bottle or of drugs or of alcohol or of anything else, we're controlling our own lives. And obviously that would have a outcome in the world to come, in the Day of Judgment. So in summary and to conclude, we have to realize that sins can take control of us just like a wild animal, and would throw us any which way, eventually ending up us losing our life and losing our life in the world to come. And consciousness of God, the taqwa of Allah, the taqwa of God, will control us. It will put our actions, our speech, our thoughts in moderation, in control, and will lead us into paradise, our eventual permanent abode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.